Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, we have got three massive rugby fans here, all broken men for very different reasons. Me, because I've been up since stupid o'clock and been ferrying kids around to mini rugby and the like. Phil, because he was up very, very late last night. Yes. Had a few too many Guinnesses. And JB, because he's Welsh.
I'm not Welsh.
Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
You're not Welsh.
I'm not Welsh. How many times? I'm North Walian. I have nothing in common with people from valleys.
There, right. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We love rugby. We don't take it or ourselves too seriously. We absolutely love the game. And we've got a really exciting podcast for you. We're hoping we're going to get on the phone very soon Lee Mears, former England, Bath, British and Irish Lions star, who's doing something pretty incredible, which we'll get more on that a little bit later. There's so much to talk about in terms of the week of European rugby, and there's so much to talk about with the announcement of the Six Nations squads as well. But I want to start with a very quick question, and I'm not going to give you any time to think about this one. I've got a little quiz question. You can play along as you're listening, and JB and Phil, I'm going to pit your wits against each other.
Okay.
So, we've just had the final round of pool matches for the European Rugby Champions Cup, previously known as the Heineken Cup. So, my question is as simple as this. Can you name the previous winners of that competition, Europe's premier competition, club competition?
Yes.
Now, the way I want to do this is I'm going to flip a coin. Mm-hmm. One of you is going to go first, and you'll have to answer one. And for as long as you keep it correct, you stay in the game.
Wow.
Oh, God.
All right, so head or tails, Jay?
Heads.
It is heads. It is heads. So, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Go on then.
Breathe.
Oh, you could have a bit more tactics, and you just tried to flex your rugby brain power.
I thought you meant in order. It's got to be in order, right?
No, not in order. You've just tried
not
to show
order.
Off.
What? I thought it had to be in order.
You've just tried to show
Damn
off.
Damn it.
Okay.
Breathe is correct.
I'll say Toulon.
I'll say Toulouse.
Leinster.
Munster.
Leicester.
Wasps.
So far, so good, guys.
Northampton.
Ulster.
You got them all? Oh, no, there's one more.
Is there one more?
Right.
And
write down your answer. Both of you, write down an answer separately. There's one more.
Okay.
Okay, I need an answer. I want you to both hold them up at the same time so I can see, but you each other can't see. Phil has got an answer for me.
If that makes any sense.
Hold on.
Beerits.
And Phil went for?
I've put Cardiff, because I'm sure a Welsh team won it very early days. But
Never won it.
Wrong. I'm going to give you another guess. Have another go.
It's not Beerits.
No, not Beerits. They were beaten finalists twice.
By Toulouse.
Stade Francais! Right, that's your answer, Stade Francais. Phil? Because that is wrong.
Is it?
Neath Swansea Ospreys, or whatever they were.
No, that's wrong.
Come on.
Oh, Bath!
You saying Bath?
Yeah, I think Bath won it, when the French teams didn't play.
Yes! You're absolutely right.
Child's play.
JB got the answer.
Of course I did. It was never in doubt.
And I
could have done it in order.
Could you now?
I probably could. No, well, probably not, actually.
Breve were the first winners of the tournament, and it was Bath that won the second year.
And then it was Ulster, and
then it was Ulster,
then it was
Northampton.
And then
it was...
I don't know.
Leicester. Actually, Toulouse won the very first one in 1996.
Oh.
Anyway, that was a little teaser. Maybe you were screaming Bath at your iPod or computer.
Bath.
So you wouldn't be screaming Bath, you'd be screaming Bath. So, yes, at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. We're going to get into the European rugby that we've seen over the weekend. Let me just give you a little flavour of some of the stuff that people have been saying over the last week, boys. Steve Connolly says, Wasps through with less wins in the pool than Harlequins. Surely a rule change for next year.
I would recommend Harlequins score more points, personally.
Yeah, you can't moan about this now. We've known about the try-scoring bonuses and losing bonus points for long enough to not moan about that at this point. We also had this message from a chap called Mark Bolton, who I know, actually. He was a friend with my brother at school, and he came away with us on a little bit of a family holiday. His kids were the mascots at the Bath-Glasgow game. That's why he got in touch to say, how about giving my kids a little mention? So hello to the little Boltons who ran out with Stuart Hooper at the Rec at the Glasgow game, and a good win for Bath as well. But Mark Bolton reminded me, he said, it's Mark Bolton, I don't know if you remember me, Tim, but I'm the guy that weed on your dad. Which is, that did happen.
Not something you're likely to forget.
That's not something you're likely to forget.
Yeah.
Chris Jane says, does Mike Ford only have one pair of trousers, referring to the mustard yellow trousers that Mike Ford once again wearing?
This is like when I thought Dylan Hartley was a massive hipster, because he always had like a tweed jacket on, but like a shirt down to the top. But it turns out that's their actual team dress code. Same with Bath. They all have to wear mustard trousers. And that's not a joke. They all do.
Oh, really? So post-match will wear the same get-up?
Yeah, so they've got the mustard trousers.
The blue blazer.
The blue blazer and, like, the check blue shirt.
It's the gingham shirt. It's a lovely look. I don't know how his mates back from the northwest would look at him and make of that.
Yeah, it wouldn't go down too well in Oldham. I say that, but everyone in Oldham knows Mike Ford in some way. Oh, Mike Ford, yeah, know him well. Everyone does.
And Nev's Left Boot on Twitter said, Toulouse's Fergie of rugby, Monsieur Noves.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll be getting his marching orders, because they managed to snatch getting knocked out of the tournament. Yeah, from almost automatic qualification, 4 wins in a row, and then just imploded.
And playing Montpellier, who hadn't won a game, had absolutely nothing to play for.
No,
they've thrown it away.
It's a weird one, that, because I think Montpellier did have something to play for, which was they've just had a new coaching staff, and they'll be drumming in attitude,
contracts for next season.
Need to do better, yeah, and building something. So actually, they're not anything to play for, but the coaching staff, I think it's Jake White, is it not?
Yes,
it is.
They'll be drumming home that they need to do well.
And is it confirmed that he's got both the Duplessis going to Montpellier next season?
Has he really?
It's been mentioned
apparently
after the World Cup. I don't know if it is confirmed yet.
My word. That'd be frightening.
That'd be nicer to bolster your scrum with, wouldn't it?
To be fair, I've not been impressed with Toulouse, and they're one of my favourite clubs. But watching them play, they look overweight, they look slow. They've got two exceptional flankers in Nianga and Tutu Toa, who do all the tackling, but the rest just seem lazy.
For all their big forwards, their scrum got taken apart by Bath last week.
Yeah.
And they didn't have much creativity, and the pace of Bath's backs just kind of showed them up.
Let's talk about that Bath pack, because we are going to be speaking to Lee Mears a little bit later, the hobbit-like frame of of Lee Mears. I don't know if...
Muscle hobbit.
He would have looked even smaller next to the current Bath pack than he did. I mean, he's a big, big slice, but sure.
Who was he packing down with back in the day? Like Woodman and...
Flatman.
Flatman. Always got them mixed up. And Stevens, I assume.
Flatman, Stevens, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a small front row.
No, that's not a small front row, is it? Even Autorak and Henry Thomas are looking awesome when they come on.
Yeah. Autorak particularly.
Yeah.
I can't believe Saracens let him go, because presumably they bought him through their own academy system.
Yeah, Saracens Academy.
And once you're in Saracens, I don't know if you're not allowed to leave or you don't want to leave, but they don't leave.
Glasgow could have won it at the end. That was a really good game, that one. There was quite a few really good, tense games. Glasgow and the Leinster Wasps games were particularly...
Well, I hate
tense finishes.
I hate to be negative, but actually, I think out of all the games this week, which were meant to be knife edge games, only Bath, I think, lived up to that billing.
Leinster Wasps was good with the two drop goals, two failed drop goals at the end, and Wasps scoring 14 points in the last 15 minutes to come back from 20 points to 6 down.
I think Wasps, if they continue with building the team with the same kind of ambition they've already built it with, could be the next power in English rugby. I'm not saying they're going to win it all, but I think they are like where Bath were 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'd go for that. They're building the team around some really good players, exciting young players as well.
Oh, and a massive back row. I don't know if I mentioned that.
And a huge back row.
You might have mentioned that. Although a slightly clumsy big back row, particularly in the case of Ashley Johnson, took his massive rump.
Oh, no.
And took out the legs, within the first 10 seconds of the match?
It was 10 seconds in,
it was the opening kickoff.
Yeah.
It was a stupid challenge.
It wasn't the brightest, was it?
But he has come on Twitter and sent a message to Rob Carney apologising, saying it was clumsy.
Was it
clumsy
Dave Carney he took out?
Dave Carney.
Was it Dave Carney?
Yeah,
Dave Carney. One of the Carney boys.
So did Ashley Johnson tweet that before or after he mentioned that he got a free Nando's and a NutriBullet and he's thanks for my supplements and I love my new boots.
I know you about to ask, did he tweet it before or after the game? I was like, well, it's a bit cynical if he tweeted it before.
So, see, Ashley Johnson looks like the sort of shape of a Toulouse player. He should be.
Yes,
he could be in the Toulouse
squad, nicely.
He would, wouldn't he?
He would, yeah.
Well, I mean, apparently Carl Ferns might be moving on at the end of the year from Bath. And I can't think of a better replacement, a better addition to that Wasps back three, back row, than Carl Ferns. Imagine if one of them's injured, a ready-made replacement for 7, 8, or 6.
Yeah, but that's what he's doing at Bath, though. Do you not think he needs to be first choice wherever he goes?
No, I don't think he cares as long as he gets paid.
But I don't think that's the case.
I disagree. I think he would want to be pushing for the England squad, and I think he's got to.
I think he could do.
I think he could do as well if he gets a starting place. So Wasps wouldn't be the place for him to go to.
Mm.
I think could even go to Leicester.
Leicester or Northampton?
Northampton.
Yeah,
he's a very useful player.
Manoa's going
an eight.
He can play 6 or 8.
He just—I've mentioned it before, and I think I tweeted it during the game. He just looks like a silverback. He had a real big impact, but we've yet to get him singing Michael Bublé on the podcast, which I'm assured he does a really good impression of.
So that will happen. It will.
That's something we're working on. Another little thing that was mentioned while we're talking about signings and people moving. Tomas O'Leary's going from London Irish to Munster. London Irish getting Ben Franks. Now that's a statement of intent, but a 3-year deal at
really?
London Irish.
That's good.
Well, it makes sense because on that fourth year he'll go home, play a bit of Super Rugby, compete with the new up-and-coming props which New Zealand will have groomed and will look awesome, and then might go to another World Cup.
Potentially one more World Cup. Mm. That's a good signing. They're bringing in a few Kiwis as well.
Sean Maitland. Well, the British and Irish Lions, Sean Maitland.
Yes.
Kiwi. Sean Maitland. He looks like a replacement for Tom Homer, who we don't know for certain his destination, but it looks like Bath he's off to.
Yes. Yeah, that's an interesting one. So he'll be covering, it'll be second choice 15, really, won't he? Mm. Covering.
Well, they lost Henson, but I can't see him being a replacement for Henson.
So they just want anyone who has played for London Irish. I think that's basically it. Ben Franks will be loose head prop for Bath in 2 years' time.
100%.
It's happening. But, Jay, let's get onto this, because I've got a theory that you have a reverse curse.
Maybe.
Whenever you praise someone and say they're awesome, they go rubbish.
Not true. Look at Miles Benjamin. Case in points.
England in waiting, Miles Benjamin, according to JB.
Only a matter of time.
And also, you have spent the last couple of weeks just completely slating the Pro 12 competition.
And by the way,
slagging it off, saying it's got no merit, no substance, no talent.
Look.
And that you were going to revel in the fact that the Pro 12 teams were all going to be eliminated from the European qualification. Now, Munster didn't make it, but smashed Sale.
Right. So, some people, for hobbies, collect stamps. Others watch trains. It seems in the Celtic nations, they play rugby. It is a hobby league. And not only is it a hobby league, only one team qualified. And this is because they're now forced to play week in, week out, rather than, I won't go as far as say it's cheating, but certainly managing their players due to the uncompetitive nature of the Pro 12. It's a rubbish league.
Fine. And the Aviva Premiership have 4 quarter-finalists. However, how many semi-finalists do you think the Aviva Premiership will have? And how many semi-finalists do you think the Pro 12 will have?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's deal with facts rather than speculation.
I think you could see one from the Pro 12 and very likely none from the Aviva. Four away
Bath
matches.
Listen,
and with Healy and with O'Brien and with all their squad getting back together, who would bet against Leinster?
Hear me now, believe me later.
To the final,
Bath
even
will go
it.
Over there and we'll turn them over.
I don't think they will.
It's done. Yeah. I'd rather have Francois Lowe than O'Brien.
That is an amazing matchup, by the way.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That will be good, won't it?
It's going to be an interesting game. I mean, to be fair, I'll say some derogatory things about the Pro 12. There were some incredible performances. Most of all, I was very impressed with Glasgow. I mean, every time I watched them play, I've been hugely impressed with
them. And if Glasgow had a slightly stronger scrum, they would have won that game as well.
Agreed.
Because their tries were really, really good tries.
Yeah. Like,
incredible handling, offloading.
Maybe they're not quite as bad as I thought, but they're pretty bad.
Maybe not. But listen, I also thought Ulster were really, really impressive against Leicester. Leicester need, and the difference is, like Munster beat a Sale Sharks team that just put out a load of youngsters and didn't have anything to play for. Leicester had to go for it.
Yeah.
Tried to play a completely different attacking game. I don't understand why Leicester did that, because it didn't work for them. And they got absolutely just taken to the cleaners by Ulster.
I don't think Leicester did play a different attacking game. I thought they just ran out of ideas.
You could see they were trying to get the four try bonus point, and don't really have the backs at the moment to be doing it.
No. And also had nothing to play for other than pride. So it's not like they had to chase the game. They didn't have to chase down Leicester's lead, if Leicester ever did get a lead, which, of course, they didn't.
They didn't, because Darren Cave hat-trick after 45 minutes.
You've got to be quite excited about Darren Cave. Darren Cave going to be the starting 13 for Ireland?
It'll probably
Henshaw.
Be Henshaw, yeah. Robbie Henshaw.
The selections, the possible outcomes of the Six Nations Championship will obviously be a massive focus of our chat next weekend on the podcast. So subscribe at Rugby Podcast on Twitter and listen to that next week. But someone will have something to say about his old side, Bath, in the European Champions Cup, about England in the Six Nations and the Six Nations in general, and about an incredible thing that he's up to at the moment. Former British and Irish Lions, England and Bath hooker Lee Mears is helping raise money for the Wooden Spoon charity. We caught up with Lee Mears. I'll let him explain.
Playing a rugby match at the North Pole, and I'm refereeing, actually, so I've gone to the dark side.
Now, you're a qualified ref, though, right?
Yes, I certainly am.
Did you lose a bet, or is that something you're pursuing?
Yes, that's... I thought I want to see how it is from their side of it, and then obviously when this chance came up as well, I thought, oh, I've got to go. So yeah, it's an amazing thing, and I'm really excited.
Now, this isn't just any game of rugby. From what I understand, is it under ILB rules or something? But it is actually a full-on game. It isn't touch.
No, it's a full-on. For it to be a world record, a bona fide world record, it's quite strict, because we want it to be something special, and we think something like that will really raise the profile for the Wooden Spoon charity.
It's fairly impressive.
That is pretty amazing. So just give us a roll call of some of the names to look out for in this matchup.
Well, what I'll do is I'll give you an insight into one of them will probably get a yellow card, and that'll be
you're taking Dylan Hartley. Dangerous.
And the other one is Mr. Ollie Phillips, so he'll do well not to get a red card.
Tim Stimson's going as well, is he not?
Oh, you just said that, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
You were making jokes while Lee was trying to say that. That's all right.
This is the interesting thing. So when we get there, obviously we'll have trekked a fair way, 100 miles, in fact, to the site. And the site can move day by day. And also the thing that's sort of, you know, really inspiring for me is they were saying that sometimes it can be, the distance can actually be halved, because if the snow melts and reforms jagged, you're going to be having to climb broken bits of ice.
Wow.
Yeah, so when it melts every year and then it reforms, and it can either be flat or sort of be all craggy and, you know, quite steep. And so it's unbelievable. The more I learn about it, the more exciting it gets.
So that's why there's not a rugby club there.
Especially amazing for you, Lee, because your trek, relatively speaking, is going to be about double the length with your legs.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sorry, I like that. Yeah, at least you've gone double. So that makes me feel taller, because some boys have said five times. But no, the cheekiest one I've had so far about my height is the fact that, what am I going to the North Pole for? I normally go every year at Christmas to work with Santa.
I heard, Tim was telling me before that in your England days with Andrew Sheridan, you two had a bit of a problem, because obviously Andrew's like 6'2", is he?
6'3",
yeah.
And you guys had a little bit of a problem, scrimmaging?
No, definitely not. I played with Shezza, actually, all Andrew Sheridan, from since we were under 18. He was actually second row in our schoolboy side. Him and Steve Borthwick. Not a bad schoolboy side. But now I'm the general. I'd say the secret would be that he came down to my height, so he was actually underneath everyone.
Oh, amazing.
So you made him the prop he was. So
exactly. That and the fact that he's freakishly strong, something along those lines.
So, because at the moment there's some stories going around about Gloucester. And this, basically what they're saying is they've got in a fella, and they've teamed up with Hibbard, so they've got these two very, very good pieces. But apparently they scrimmage at completely different heights. But from what you say, that potentially could just be nonsense.
You've got to work together and you've got to find the benefit. I mean, I scrummaged with some fantastic smaller props, and then I also had some big units, you know, like Sherry. But it's about, it is about not, you know, trying to work together. That's the whole thing, isn't it? You can be the best prop in the world. If you don't have a good hooker or you don't have a good second row behind you, you're in a whole world of pain. So I'd be interested to see what they say about scrummaging at different heights.
Now, your career ended prematurely. It was that was something that was forced upon you on medical advice, I understand. But Nick Easter, back in the England squad, older than you, comfortably older than you as well. What do you make of that?
It's fantastic, isn't it? I think it's been such a shame because obviously he had that sort of a bit of a falling out, but he's been on such good form, and I think when someone really is trying to show you that they've that they want to get back in, he is as English as they come, and he's very passionate about playing for his country. So I'm very pleased for him. It's a game for all shapes and sizes, and I think it's a mixture of ages as well, because you want the young boys that sort of don't care, not don't care, but they're unused to that, they just want to play. But you need those old heads in there as well that have got the experience on how to win games.
Completely with you. Lee, another thing you know plenty about is coffee. So are you going to be taking any beans for a brew at the North Pole?
I certainly am. That's all they talk about, a brew, and a brew. So no, I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm not sure I can fit the whole coffee machine in, but I'm sure I can come up with something.
What's big in the coffee world at the minute? Because if there's one thing we know professional rugby players like to do, it's just spend their day sat around drinking coffee. So what's big in the coffee world just now?
The AeroPress at the moment. Have you ever gone on AeroPress?
Yeah. Yeah.
Phil's all over the AeroPress.
Yeah, I've got one.
Oh, well, pretty good. Phil and I... Phil and I went to Chicago to watch the All Blacks. We came across a Clover coffee machine. It was the most exciting thing which happened all holiday, if you're familiar with that.
OK, what happened?
Basically, it's the coffee machine made by some guys in Stanford University, which got bought and then hidden by Starbucks, and they only bought it back out after public pressure. And it memorises the bean, and it memorises the extraction from the bean. Then it puts it into a central database with all the other Clovers, because obviously these Stanford geeks made it.
Do you understand what he's talking about, Lee?
Yes, I certainly do.
All right, good. Well, good. It's
very exciting. You've got to look into it.
Aside from the big issue of coffee, one of the other big talking points in rugby has been the deterioration of the morals of the game, with diving, with chatting back to the referee, with less respect, or the fans saying things. It's become a big topic in the game, and I feel sure you'd have something to say about that, Lee. How do you see it?
Yeah, I'd say when you see it, it's a little bit disappointing. I'm sure as the game grows, you're getting more and more of a wide base of supporters, and maybe it wasn't documented now. So anytime there is something, that happens, it gets massively highlighted. But I'm hoping that, I see it a failure in my part if I haven't tried to hand down to the younger boys. I was handed it down by the likes of Ben Clark, Victor Abogu, Jeremy Duskett. They always taught you the values of your club and the game. And hopefully I did a good job passing it down, and you won't see many of the Bath boys doing those kind of things. So hopefully that'll stay for now. But yeah, it would always creep in as the game gets more and more high profile. But hopefully, it will get dealt with.
It's amazing hearing some of those names you play with, you forget. One person that JB always talks about, and I said Lee will have played with him and he would have shared a gym with Danny Grucock. JB is one of his all-time favourite players.
He is.
I remember, because I was at Bath Uni when you were playing, so you guys used to come and use the gym every now and again, and he was an absolute beast, that man, wasn't he?
Yes, he is. He's amazing. He's someone that you want in your team every day of the week. We call him Robo-Lock for a reason. Oh, unbelievable. Fit, strong, dedicated. He was your you know, like I say, he was a robot. He was unbelievable and such a good guy off the field, though, and still one of my very good friends.
How do you think your boys are going to get on against Leinster in the final rounds now of the European Cup?
It's very interesting. I think Leinster have had a bit of a mixed year. Forwards-wise, the beauty with Bath at the moment is that you need those forwards, the foundation, to play the kind of rugby off the back of it. And Bath have got those forwards at the moment. Jeez, it's impressive to watch. So it's finding a team that can compete up front with them and then handle the back line. I was very impressed with Glasgow today as well, to be fair. They put on a real good show.
I'm sure everyone mentions Slamming Sam, who's not around in the town of Bath. Has he popped into Jika Jika for a coffee?
Yes. I get on very well with Sam. He's a lovely guy. I mean, you know, to be like he is and having won the stuff that he's won, he's such a humble guy, learning the game, and he just wants to get out there as much as he can because that's, you know, that's his background.
Going back very quickly, there's a couple of little things I want to pick your brain on. One is, just as you were talking about, you know, Danny Grewcock in the gym and stuff, what was your PB back in the day, squat, deadlift, bench?
Squat, three reps was 225, 230 for three. And that's a full squat. None of these. Then bench. What was a massive bench? 155.
No, that's not that massive.
Not massive. No, I'm impressed with that one.
And then what was your other one?
What was your deadlift?
Jeez. That was easy for me because it didn't have to go very far. So I think about 250.
260, wow.
Nice. We'll put that down on our little chart we're collecting as we speak to.
We're getting like a top year chart of the three, aren't we?
And right, listen, here's one question. I asked this recently to Jeb Sinclair of London Irish, so I thought I'd ask the same question to you. Recently, there's been some high-profile mobile phones that have been hacked with celebrities, and I'm sure you know nothing about this. You're far too respectable to have known anything about Jennifer Lawrence, and certainly not to have searched or seen anything. But of all the rugby players you know, past or present, who would have the most to lose by having their phone hacked, do you reckon?
Easy peasy. That would be Mr. James Haskell.
Brilliant, yes!
James Haskell. Is that just all the naked, like, practically naked selfies he takes, just for crack?
Well, I mean, exactly.
If you go on his Twitter, you can find them. You don't need to turn his phone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there'd be some weird stuff on Haskell's phone, I reckon.
Well, isn't there a rumour of him going out with Judy Finnegan and whatever his name is, their daughter, her daughter.
What is this, Phil? Heat magazine?
Richard Madeley and Judy Finnegan's daughter.
We're going to be a proper rugby podcast, Phil. Don't lower that. Jeez. Listen, Lee, the Six Nations is about to come up. What's your perspective? Give us your prediction of how you think it's going to go in Cardiff in the cauldron with the roof on.
It will be. If it's anything like the last game down there, it will be absolutely immense. I mean, when you finish, it really hurts for a while watching games of rugby. And I think that was the first game that I went to where the hairs were standing up on the back of my neck. The atmosphere was sensational. Now, I know it's the first one, so it's... I mean, I suppose it is all to play for as well because everyone wants to start well. But if it's anything like that game when I went down there last time, I just can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. And are we going to win? Well, there's only ever one side going to win in my world, and that is us. And we will beat them down there, but it's going to be a tough ask. So I'm looking forward to it.
It feels like there's a weight of momentum from the rugby public in England to back your boys, that midfield trio, Ford, Eastman, Joseph.
Yes, I think so. I think it's very tough because Stu's obviously been trying everything out and you're not far away now. You're sort of, you know, what are we, 10 games away from the World Cup? So he's got to start settling on his side. The boys have come good at the right time. They play together every week. You know, it's not like they're going to have to get to know each other, so that's in their favour. I would definitely have a look at them because they offer, you know, something different, something else. Whether it's the right call against Wales, because you know Wales are just going to be absolutely physical. They're going to run at you, and I would say that would probably be those boys' weakness. But in terms of if England want to create... And I think England are a bit like Bath at the moment. They've got the pack to do so. Then you've got to go with guys that can do something a little bit extra. And those boys definitely can.
Completely agreed. And just as a matter of interest, I couldn't let you go without asking, who would you start at hooker?
That's a tough one. Really tough. I think Dills, you know, he's got the experience.
And, you know, I know you boys have already given him a bit of stick, but what he brings off the field is fantastic as well. You know, he is a good leader. He's a great bloke. I think Youngsy started to hit his straps again, and I get very excited by Youngsy because, you know, I almost, you know, wish I was as good as him, but he, you know, he's quite similar to how I played. And then Webbs, you know, Webbs has had a fantastic season.
And he's a big boy as well.
Yeah, exactly. But he plays like a back rower, you know, the amount of work he gets through. And he's got to take some sort of plaudits because he's really, you know, he'll definitely be one of the driving forces behind the scrummaging that's been going on at Bath. So, yeah, we've got some great guys coming through. I mean, you look at the moment, you've got David Ward at Quinns, you've got Cowan Dickey, how do I forget that?
So, Tommy Taylor at Sale's one to watch as well.
Luke Tommy Taylor at Sale. And Ross Batty down at Bath has been pushing. He's one of the reasons why Webbs has been playing so well, you know, because he's right on the money. He's right behind Webbs. So there's loads coming through. I think it's a great competitive position at the moment.
You sat on the fence brilliantly there,
well
Lee.
Done.
That was superbly. That was like a consummate pro.
He sat on the fence like a London Welsh spectator.
What is it with that fence at their ground? Lee, listen, how can we follow the trip to the North Pole and the Wooden Spoons attempt at the Guinness World Record rugby match at the North Pole?
It's all on Twitter, at Wooden Spoon, Arctic Challenge as well. Then you've got Mirzio 2. And then obviously Philip, it's worth following him even just for a laugh.
I'm sure that we can tweet out the details, and anyone wants to support it, please do get behind it.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. All the best with it. Have a good trip. Get those brews on, get the coffees on, and all the best to the boys.
Thanks very much. You take care, lad. Thanks.
Great to talk to you, Lee. Take it easy.
Cheers, Lee.
Cheers, Lee.
Lee Mears there. What a top lad.
Top lad indeed, as are most rugby players.
They really are. Rugby players genuinely are a really good breed. And no more was that the case listening to Lee Mears, apart from the fact he's doing an amazing thing for the Wooden Spoon charity with that game at the North Pole. I just loved him talking about Nick Easter getting back in the England squad and how happy he was for him. And Nick Easter will be as proud as anyone to be involved in the England setup again. We should have maybe asked him, Jay, about Andy Goode, because that's someone else you would love. I mean, we know how much you love Andy Goode, but you would love to see back in the England squad.
100%.
What would actually have to happen to make Andy Goode get called up for England? Because another big bit of news is Danny Cipriani is staying in England. He will be a Sale Sharks player. He hasn't actually put pen to paper yet, but he's expected to in the next couple of days for Sale Sharks for next season.
What would need to happen for Andy Goode to bring into the England squad? Yeah, an outbreak of common sense.
Where is he in the England pecking order, Andy Goode, one of JB's favourites?
Yeah, so Nick Easter's back in at what looks like third choice.
But it's not about age.
Number eight.
It's not about age.
So it shouldn't be about age, is it? Because
no.
The problem with the England team, and maybe a lot of international teams now, is they run them like club teams. So you hear Team England and the rest of it. And they go, oh yeah, we'll bring in this guy for big game experience and we'll bring him through. That's great. It should be about your best 15 players right now.
Well, I think that's what it is in the Saxons. Generally speaking, you pick guys in positions of particular strength, you can afford to pop in Maro Itoje and go, let's expose him to this because he's going to be a big name. But actually, the Saxons are there to back up the first team so people can step in when they need to.
But a World Cup year, you just need your best 15.
I totally agree.
You can't be messing about.
So where is Andy Goode in the pecking order? Because England are pretty stacked at 10. I've got our four regular ones. And then who would come after that? Would Andy Goode be
number five?
Number five.
Garrity?
Number five would be Freddie Burns.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Freddie Burns.
Because he played ahead of Cipriani in New Zealand in the summer.
You'd be mad now, though, wouldn't you, to say that Billy Burns is ahead of Cipriani?
Freddie Burns.
What did I say, Billy?
Billy.
Sorry, yeah, Freddie Burns. So
yeah, Freddie Burns definitely isn't now because he's not in the squad. Then it's interesting the Saxons. So Freddie Burns isn't in the Saxons, but Slade and Devoto.
Oh yeah.
Both of whom are playing kind of like Devoto's a bit of a utility playing everywhere. Slade, who's been playing consistently outside centre. So there's not really a recognised 10 in the Saxons.
And well, they've got the problem at Exeter that Steenson's such a reliable goal kicker and a bit of a club stalwart for them. They can't really ship them on yet.
Yeah.
But they think they will.
Like, what are you actually saying here? Andy Goode is sixth choice for England.
Well, I think they would put Henry Slade in ahead of Goode.
Can I just make a point about Andy Goode and why he's so special compared to all the other players, and something which we're probably going to be missing in the future, which is, if you play with Andy Goode, he's got a world of experience from France, from Leicester, from
South Africa.
Yeah. He's been everywhere, right? And he's done a lot of things with his career.
Including eating.
Including eating. But I do think it's a shame that if England get their way and they say the players have to stay in England all their career if they want aspirations to play for the national team, you're going to lose that.
Well, no.
I think that was really, 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 really valuable. I mean, obviously he's too old, but...
He didn't play for England whilst he was gallivanting around the, the globe.
No, he couldn't, but... You know, Haskell might, and I reckon Haskell's a much better player for going to New Zealand, for going to Japan, for going to France.
Yeah, I agree, but during that period of being away, he couldn't play for England.
Ben Franks won't be an All Black while he's playing for London Irish.
No, but I'm saying the RFU's idea of development is you stay in England for all of your career just so you can play for...
saying that.
Yeah. Well, they pretty much
they're not saying that.
Because if you move... Like, Stephen Armitage is literally a couple of hours away.
Stephen Armitage could have changed that if he wanted to.
Yeah.
They're not saying you stay here for your whole career.
No. What I'm saying is if they follow the rules completely, what will happen is you'll just have English players only exposed to English rugby, and I think that's a shame.
It does bother me about English football, how reluctant English footballers are to experience a different culture, go and play somewhere else, and I think it does have a negative effect on the national team. They're very insular. They've got that proper English mentality of when they go abroad, I just want to go to an Irish pub for a full English breakfast.
But weirdly, you don't think that about the England rugby team?
No. I think I do. I think going and experiencing a different culture is absolutely fine. But yeah, do it how it's been done. Fit it in with World Cups. Go and have a couple of years after the World Cup. Come back. Earn your place again.
I think you'll see a lot more of those kind of deals, like Jerome Kano did it. He went to Japan for 2 years and came back to be in contention for the World
Cup. Jerome Kano, you're talking about future Leicester man Jerome Kano there.
Do you know something?
Maybe.
It would be a good signing.
It might happen. Jamie Gibson's gone. I'm just saying, it makes sense. They've got a lot of weakness in that back row, in my opinion.
Got to replace Steve Maffey earlier in the year as well, or early last year.
Yep.
That'd be a good signing.
Wouldn't it just?
Anyway, so Slade number 6 probably, and then you'd have to say Devoto would be number 7 because he's in the Saxons.
We've got Geraghty.
Would they have Hodgson ahead of Goode?
What about Alex Goode?
Alex Goode could play. You could move Billy 12 Trees inside.
Oh God!
So what we're saying there's basically zero chance of Andy Goode having a Stephen Donald and being away on some beers on a fishing trip and then being called up during the World Cup to kick the winning goal.
He is the most likely international, however, to be away having beers on a fishing trip.
This is true.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe 8 injuries. Just 8 consecutive concurrent
injuries.
What
we've done there is we've ranked them in terms of putting ourselves in Stuart Lancaster's shoes instead of ranking them on actual talent. In terms of actual talent, I think he's about 5th. Actual ability in
a
game.
So you put him ahead of Burns behind Cipriani?
In terms of what he's done this season, I'd go with that.
I probably would.
There's not many more effective.
By the way, how good does that young Wasps fly off coming through look?
Alex Lazowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored an incredible really try good. The other week. A lot of pace.
No, you see, young players, this is one thing, and it's fitting into kind of what you said about players having a standard career where they stay in England and all the rest of it. One thing I have noticed is kids have no banter. Rugby players.
Having banter with kids or?
No. Young rugby players have no, coming through into the senior teams, have no banter whatsoever.
All they like to do is
I feel cruel mentioning him. Shall I mention who I chatted to? And he was.
Yes.
Ross Harrison, England Saxons.
Yeah.
Ross Harrison. All he did, the whole interview, was just repeat what you just said. So I went, you know, there's a good crop of young players coming through at sale. Yeah, good crop of young players coming through at sale. Yeah, it's good,
Do you have him on your BBC show, these?
Yes.
Ah, I see, okay. See, the reason for this is all they like doing now is working out and Snapchatting. I would say if you had an interview with him on Snapchat, maybe that's a feature that we could develop. He'd be much more forthcoming.
Maybe that's a new thing we could do. Try and invite rugby players to live Snapchat to a group.
That's all the kids do now. Snapchat and Instagram.
One group that isn't Snapchatting that we do want to instigate actually is the Egg Chasers Six Nations League.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Phil has set up a pin. So ESPN on their scrum.com site.
Yeah.
Are doing a Six Nations Fantasy League. Now, last year, our league, the Egg Chasers League, the one that you maybe had a team in and we had teams in, was the number one ranked league in the world.
As it should be.
So our collective league, all the Egg Chasers teams, were better collectively than any other group of people anywhere in the world. So we are an informed bunch.
Absolutely.
So it's a coveted title if you were to walk away and win it. And for that reason, we will
make...
Did
you have a prize last year?
Yeah, I'm working on a prize and I'll announce the prize next week, but
ooh,
it's good. So if you're going to be doing a fantasy team for the Six Nations, get your team in and the code... Well, do you want to say it now, Phil?
Yes.
The unique league code for the Egg Chasers League...
is 81262.
Sorry, Phil, I didn't quite catch that. Can you say it again?
It is... 81262.
So if I went on to ESPN and wanted to put a team in our league, what pin would I use again?
You would have to use 81262.
81262.
Okay. It's a catchy pin.
It is catchy, isn't it?
The term.
Maybe we should have a jingle for next week for the code.
like that old advert for the Friends, what's it?
Oh, I know.
The Friends chat line.
Oh, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it off.
Friends, 08545454. There's a guy doing like curls, talking to a girl.
Come on, Cole, chat back.
That's it. If you know how to make things like that and you want to do something with our pin, which is
81262,
please just send it to us. That'd be great.
Yes. I'll announce the prize next week, but it's shaping up rather nicely and I'll have more to tell next week.
Right. Now, let me make this point about Jamie Roberts, a point which I made to my little group on WhatsApp.
Okay.
I think, looking at the England squad, that England are picking a squad or a team to beat Wales or at least play Wales at their own game and hope that they win. I don't think they're looking to impose their own game. I think that's a little bit backwards. So they're looking for big bodies like Burrell to stop...
What are you talking about? Eastman and Joseph have been picked in the centres in the squad.
They're in the squad.
They're in the squad. But do you think... I mean, what I want England to do is go Ford, Eastman, Joseph, and just go pace. I don't think they're going to do that. I think Stuart Lancaster...
You think they're going to go Barrett, Burrell?
Exactly what I think. Stuart Lancaster's going to get scared because obviously Warren Gatland is... played him like a fiddle. He's going to try and beat Wales at their own game, and ultimately Jamie Roberts is going to do to Luther Burrell what he did this weekend.
I agree with you on this. I think England shouldn't try and take on Wales at their own game because with the players we've got available, we'll probably lose. If you had Manu in there, it makes things a bit different.
It feels like it's damage limitation.
But then that, if he does pick Barrett and Burrell, let's say, as his two centre combinations, or 12 trees and Burrell, or whatever... Then that's not on a 12 trees of Saxons, isn't he? Then that's not a change from what he has done before. So it's not changing for Wales.
No,
he's relying on a big pack and the boot of the 10.
That's exactly what Wales will do. I think they will want to kick at Wales quite a lot. And Gatland referred to this in his interview. He said, oh, yeah, we've been pretty weak against very astute kicking teams. So, is Gatland just trying to play mind games to make him kick? But my point is, every time England put out a team, it feels like damage limitation. Let's stop them rather than let's do what we do. And if they were really brave, they would go for Eastman, Joseph, Watson.
England have never done that under Stuart Lancaster.
No. and they're not going to start doing it either. But I'm just saying that's the way that I would go because you're not.
Would you go Christian Wade on the wing as well?
Hell yes, I would.
Anthony Watson at fullback.
Yes. Oh, well, nah. It's not going to be Mike Brown because I don't think he's playing well. But everyone else.
No,
is
Mike Brown is playing well. But
he's not his absolute horror this week over his own try line.
No, I didn't.
He's gone from like the most consistent fullback to someone who has quite a few errors, in my opinion, at least.
Just on the centres. I think he will pick Burrell and Barrett.
No!
And the question is, are they the two best centres in England at the moment? And I think, no, I think Eastman and Joseph are the best two centres in England at the moment. I'd love to see them. And I think they do offer something completely different and something that would be a lot more difficult for Wales to handle.
Nobody thought Nick Easter would get selected, despite, you know, people. Nobody thought Danny Cipriani would make the squad, albeit he's one of four.
True.
And both of those things have happened, so maybe...
Conspiracy theory time now. Do you think Steve Diamond has browbeaten Stuart Lancaster?
No.
He's phoned him up, Dimes, his classic aggressive way, and, you know, just basically shouts at Stuart Lancaster, and like, right, get him in the squad now, we'll get him to sign the deal, and then he's out. I promise you.
And then you
no
drop
more
him.
Words. He's gone. He's out. And Stuart Lancaster's going, all right, yeah, okay, I'll pick him for the wider squad, and as soon as he signs his deal, he's gone.
Sale Sharks fans, some of them I saw... tweeting and stuff, were trying to say that Steve Diamond had worked wonders getting Danny Cipriani into the England squad. To suggest that the England coach would do anything other than what he wanted to do, I think is absolutely ridiculous.
There's one... I agree with that.
Stuart Lancaster was at the AJ Bell Stadium to watch Sale smash Northampton, and Danny Cipriani put in a really good game. And that's what Stuart Lancaster referred to when he said why he picked Danny. He said, I watched him play. It's the best game I think I've seen him play.
Well, there's no danger of Stuart Lancaster being accused of being a populist with his selections.
Exactly. Quite. But we'll see. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll be bowing to public pressure.
How on earth did he pick Joel Tompkins for England only like a year ago or 2 years ago?
It was last autumn in the autumn.
Wow. So forward thinking.
2013.
And they're going to do this exactly the same with Burgess in the Saxons now.
I'm looking forward to that. With that Friday night.
Oh, yeah, because the LV Cup's on.
Oh, wow. Oh, I can't believe we've taken so long to talk about the LV Cup.
I love the LV Cup.
I love the LV Cup so much. We've talked about the Premiership. We've mentioned the Six Nations is coming up. We've talked about Europe and the elite competition there. Let's just take a moment to preview what is set to be an incredible round of matches in the LV Cup. Let's give it some of our highlights of what's to come. Phil Cunningham tweeted, by the way, saying... So that's a bit awkward then. Big Gav is signing for Bristol. Does that mean you're going to get a Bristol shirt, JB?
This is an interesting one, isn't it? So Bristol have got Gavin Henson. Incredible signing. I heard it went down to the wire. Bristol had a big offer for Carter, Gitto and Henson. But luckily they signed Henson. So he's now going to be putting Vaughan Dell into space, which is a terrifying prospect for anyone. They've got Matthew Morgan at fly half. Have you ever seen that kid play?
Yes, I have.
Wow, he's exciting. Dwayne Peel pulling strings. Remember Anthony Peronisi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's there. Mark Jones from Sale has just signed, who is, in my mind, the closest thing Wales have to a backup Hibbard. And they've got Ian Evans.
Ian Evans, Ryan Jones is there.
Oh, yeah, of course, Ryan Jones. So... Bristol are a team not to be trifled with, unless hysterically they don't go up this year.
That would be incredible if Worcester beat them.
Worcester won't beat them, but mind you, Tim loves Dean Ryan, so I bet you're hoping for them.
Worcester
are playing good rugby, and the average age of their team must be about 24. It's pretty. I'm really impressed with Dean Ryan. And what he's doing at Worcester.
He got relegated.
Yes.
I bet in his contract, it probably said, whatever you do, don't get relegated. Just don't get us relegated. Just don't be the worst club in the league over a period of 9 months. Can you do that? Yeah, no problem. Yeah, go for it. How many years in the Championship will you need to be there before you stop liking him? Did you know him personally or something?
I have no genes spliced with Dean Ryan's. I can guarantee that.
It would be funny if Worcester beat them, but I won't be rooting for them because there's a lot of good players in Bristol, and that's a real club that needs to be in the Premiership.
I'll tell you what, it would be a shame if they don't go up, because it might mean that Vaughan Dell never breaks the Premiership top price scoring record.
Apparently he can run 10 points. You ran 10.5 in socks.
In socks, yeah. I know. This is the
There's
certain stats that everyone dusts off, and that one, Tom Van Dell can run 10.1 in socks.
We should make a team, right?
Fact.
We should make a 15 of players that have cliches attached to them. For instance, Luke Nare's dad's a butcher. That always...
Fact.
Nick Kennedy's mum's an author.
Fact.
That's only you that says that. In fact, you said it to Nick Kennedy when we met him.
There's loads. Lewis Avion Roberts has wellies specially made to accommodate his calves.
I've got Matt Stevens has to have a specially made helmet for when he was riding his scooter when he first moved to Bath.
Yes! See, we've got loads of them.
That's not cliches, though, is it?
Interesting. Well, they are.
Anecdotes.
The go-to anecdotes for every player.
For commentators, which can bring us on to the next point, which you pointed out.
Yeah, Nick Mullins of BT Sport, fine upstanding broadcaster. By the way, before I just get into Nick Mullins, what is it that BT Sport did to deserve all of the important matches the past fortnight?
I know.
Sky Sports matches were pointless.
Whoever they negotiated those matches with, they've done a really good job.
Do you reckon, right, in the negotiations, Sky sent Stuart Bonds to negotiate and BT sent Sora Elgan?
Nick, I'm just trying to find that Nick Mullins commentary now. So here's one from a couple of weeks ago. The live match on BT Sport was Newcastle playing against London Welsh, I think. And it was Nick Mullins of BT Sport referring to the winger, Newcastle winger, Sinotti, as a mobile bundle of barbed wire.
What?
Yep. You heard.
Beyond him to Sanotti. Gets those feet pumping again and the thighs pumping. It's like a mobile bundle of barbed wire. It's just impossible to stop when he gets going.
I see that. I see that. The best part about it was that it's not because he's hard to grab hold of or it's because he's impossible to stop once he gets going. That isn't... That's not what I think of when I think of barbed wire.
What was the other one? The other one had something to do with custard, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is he the spoon that stirs the custard? Wonderful.
Yeah, he's got a brilliant way with words anyway.
And there's one today. Are you trying to find that one?
Yeah, no, I can't find the one from today.
Saracens are trying to get out of a jam jar.
Like a wasp getting out of a jam jar.
Was
or
a wasp?
I don't know. I think that's where it comes from.
Massive jam jar.
That's a big jam jar. That.
It sounds like challenges from like TFI Friday back in the day. Yeah. Can the Saracens get out of a jam jar?
We've put the Saracens rugby squad in a jam jar. How many of them will get out in 80 minutes?
And then Will would do that thing. And you'll put it Will.
Will, yeah, with a finger. Anyway, that's an old reference if you're like young. Anyway. So yeah, please, could you tell us other go-to anecdotes for other players? Like Mike Ford's one emerging is it's a law within Bath Rugby Club. Mike Ford has to wear mustard yellow trousers at
all
times.
They all do. Fact. Mark Quato was originally a footballer with Crewe Alexander. Fact.
Really? Oh,
was
he?
Yeah. Like Cipriani was at QPR for a bit.
Danny Cipriani likes chocolate Nesquik.
Fact. Yeah. It goes on and on and on and on.
In fact, me and JB, we didn't even realise it was an homage to Cipriani. We had a hot Nesquik before we started the podcast.
Yes, we did. And it's even better than pineapple and Malibu, which is another favourite drink.
I'm going to have to get the clip of that now. We've mentioned it.
Nesquik with milk. Cold, yeah?
What, do you not eat drink that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So that's Danny Cipriani drinking Nesquik and then...
I'm quite girly in the way I drink.
Cheers.
Cheers. Nesquik chocolate.
So what would you drink chocolate then?
Malibu and pineapple.
Malibu and pineapple. That's Danny Cipriani. It wouldn't feel right if a man who makes a girl that comes back to his house chocolate Nesquik and drinks Malibu and pineapple. If he ends up kicking the winning goals in the World Cup, I think the victory for England will be sort of null and void.
Agreed.
Just while we're on it, I don't think we've given you enough stick, Jay, for the fact that the Welsh teams are absolutely dreadful.
Don't care. I'm not interested.
We've even, like, Jay even has brought along a, well, he's a friend of all of ours, but say hello, Lee Lloyd.
Hello.
He's going to have to say something. Say, I don't know, what?
Hi, I'm Lee
say
Lloyd.
Say hello, I'm Lee Lloyd.
And I endorse this podcast.
Go on, say that. Hello, I'm Lee Lloyd and I endorse this podcast.
Which you can hear, he's a proper Welshman. That's why Jay's brought him along for a little bit of support. To equal up the numbers, because you can hear he's a proper Welshman. But what's going on with Welsh club rugby? They're dreadful.
Well, okay, so...
You're going to have a guaranteed semi-finalist in the Amlin Challenge Cup or whatever it's called, or whatever that version is.
They're just not very good at the moment, and they're not going to be particularly good until RGC gets its official status as a region.
There you go, little ding of the bell for the RGC mention.
They will be in the Premiership next year, and I imagine the year after that they will be a region, and then I can care about regional Welsh.
We should have Egg Chasers podcast bingo cards, JB bingo cards, and eventually there'll be an episode where he mentions Andy Goode, Miles Benjamin, RGC, Gavin Henson. Who else would be on that? Jack Berger.
Yeah, hating referees.
Hating referees. Let the boys play.
Yeah, referees been terrible.
Boys, before we're done, there's something I really, really want to talk about. Adam Jones has announced his international retirement.
This has happened, yes.
Why has he announced his international retirement? Hear me out for a second. As far as I'm concerned, I've never been remotely nearly good enough to obviously represent my country. But if I were, I would think it was like my duty. If I was ever called upon and someone thought I would do a job for my country, firstly, the honour would be so great that I would never turn it down.
Yep.
And I would always be available. And, you know, one guy that said exactly this is Frank Lampard. He said, I'll never retire from international football.
Gary Neville said it first, though.
Gary Neville exactly did the same thing. I think it's like a duty. And I think this is an example of the modern growing ego of rugby players. They're now big names. I'm not saying Adam Jones is a bad bloke. He's actually come out and said, I hold no grudge whatsoever against Warren Gatland. He's the guy that got me into shape. I've got a lot to thank him for. He doesn't feel I'm the best player. I respect his decision. I don't agree with it, but I respect it. But it's become too hard for my family and me. So I'm making the decision now to quit playing international rugby after he didn't get selected for the Six Nations squad. I just don't think that should ever be a player's decision to make. No, unless there are really exceptional circumstances.
Do you know what like the Honey Badger?
Like the Honey Badger, for example, where he said, I have to go to Japan because I have to earn some money because I've got siblings and a dad who's really poorly and we need the money.
I was wondering if it was more of, I've not been picked, let's clear the way now for a last contract in France.
If he goes to France, he doesn't need to announce his retirement.
Yeah.
No, because I think that just clears it up. So if he says, you know, I'm no longer eligible for Wales, that's what I'm going to say. I think he only went to Cardiff hoping to get back into the Wales side. Having said that, if he then says it's too much stress on my family, moving him over to, you know,
Toulon.
I mean, not he's going to Toulon, but, you know, wherever he may go, it's quite stressful, isn't it?
I just think there's an element of players doing it. When they don't get picked, they go, well, I want to end my career on my terms in my way. I just think...
Yeah, I think that if he just went over to France, if he goes to France, we don't know. But if he did, people would be saying, oh, he's turning his back on Wales now. But if he says, I've retired, it's kind of a little bit of a... That was my first thought, but I don't know if that's right.
Well, here's the thing, though. Let's say you get a couple of injuries, and come October time, they need a player. Are you honestly telling me that Adam Jones would like to rule himself out of playing for Wales in a World Cup?
That's a great point, isn't it?
That's what is strange for me, because of the squad depth in Wales as well, like two or three injuries, and he would be...
Back to Adam Jones?
Definitely, yeah. He'd be the man you want there. It's strange from that point of view. And it's also like, he's obviously not good enough at the moment, but he has been in the past, and... It should be an incentive and like a motivation for him. It should be, well, I'm going to work on my game, I'm going to work on my fitness. And he's only 33. He could have at least a couple more really good years. So, yeah, I think it's a bit strange from that point of view as well.
My image of rugby players, and there's been a lot of talk about the image of the game and the way that the game is viewed and diving. And there was, I haven't seen the video of it, but there was talk on Twitter during the Munster match that the couple of Munster players, Paul O'Connell and Simon Zeebo, took a bit of a dive at one point.
I don't believe Paul O'Connell, I believe Simon Zeebo.
I don't want to believe that either of them would, but I haven't seen it, so I can't say at this point. When we spoke to Damien Hopley, when he did that special little podcast for us, it's one of the things he said, actually, over and above salary cap, over and above players leaving to France and elsewhere and all the rest of it in the national team, the biggest issue for rugby to deal with is the sliding morals and core values of the game and making sure they don't start going on a downward trend, which... they have done, and which they are, and I think this player's coming out and saying, I'm now no longer going to play for my country. I know it's not a bad thing, but I think it's a little indication of the ego of players now, where they want to be the ones that say, no, I'm not being picked, I'm choosing not to be selected.
I've always considered the average ego of rugby players to have gone down substantially since Jerry Guscott retired. However, I do take your point, and it is important.
Right, so as we've already established, there is barren, total lack of rugby to discuss this weekend. Otherwise known as the LV Cup. But what that does mean is we've got a little bit longer to contemplate our fantasy rugby team for the Six Nations. Let's just reiterate that again. The Egg Chasers have a league at the scrum.com ESPN Fantasy Rugby League for the Six Nations Championship. Last year, all of us collectively were the number one league in the world. So we had the best, most informed, most strong-minded rugby league out of any there were. So we want you to be part of that once again. I'll announce the prize next week on the podcast. You can get Tinker in. And that code, one more time, Phil,
is 81262.
Excellent. Well done.
Thanks. Thanks, Jay.
The code is... So what was it? One more time, Phil.
81262.
We'll put it on Twitter at Rugby Podcast.
Yeah, it's on Twitter.
Can you change the pin manually?
No, it's just randomly.
0800 50 50.
0891 50 50 50.
No, it's just randomly generated.
Are you sure? Can you have a look at that?
Yeah, there's nothing I can do about that, Jay.
If you want to call and chat rugby with JB,
come on, Carl.
JB.
Keep leaving your reviews and feedback on iTunes. Listen, subscribe, go to Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we'll keep chatting rugby until the next podcast. Thank you for listening. JB, see you next time.
Goodbye, Tim.
Phil, see you next time.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.